Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we'd like to offer a warm word of welcome to each of you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. Let us know it's your first visit. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. If anybody would like to share, for us to share further information with you about our congregation and ministries, there's a little tan-colored information sheet inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in our service. Everyone is welcome to attend the Lenten suppers and meditations that continue this Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. The CWF ladies will be providing the supper this Wednesday. And please look over the bulletin announcement page to learn about upcoming events in the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, including the Disciple Women's Spring Retreat, the Palm Sunday event for the children, the Organist Guild concert that will feature our own pipe organ, and of course Holy Week services and the ladies' spring tea. Bob has to duck to get through the door, and you'll understand that play on words here in a moment.
Good morning. From the Outreach Committee, we want to thank you for a successful month in February. Yes, Berry Christian Church has its ducks in a row. We collected 443 rolls of toilet paper, 131 rolls of paper towels, 1,012 diapers, and 25 packages of diaper wipes. If I had that many diapers, I'd need a million diaper wipes. We had 6 tubes of cleaning wipes and 1 box of trash bags. There was a short letter from the Hope House. Thank you for being a light for survivors of domestic violence as they take that courageous leap to free themselves from abusive situations. Though you will likely never meet those your generosity has touched, your kindness will change their lives, providing them with a safe place, support, and hope for a new beginning. To understand the kind of impact your gift can make, here are some words from a woman who received help. I feel proud for the first time in my life, and it's all due to the Hope House and all the people who helped us to see who we are and that we are worthy of good. Thank you so much for all the lives you touch. Our outreach committee is helping the youngest among us to get church camp at Tall Oaks if they would like to go. Berry will pay half the early bird registration fee. Early bird for all ages groups is before May 1st. Thank you. And the next time I get my ducks in a row, I think I'll use duct tape.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Praise God in His temple. Praise His strength in heaven.
Praise Him for the mighty things He has done. Praise His supreme greatness. Praise the Lord. Let us sing hymn number 517, stanzas 1 and 4.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Thanks to Melanie Carrion for making her maiden voyage as our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. Holy God, we're grateful to have this time to gather here as we prepare to worship in spirit and in truth. We give thanks for this place and the people who gather here with us. We especially are grateful for the presence of Jesus Christ as we begin our worship service this morning. We pray for a living relationship with our Lord and Savior through the Holy Spirit, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. What have I got here? What's this? A bird. It's a bird. It's not a very pretty bird. It's a black bird, and he's just kind of plain looking, isn't he? He's not really pretty, is he? He's not colored. Yeah. But when I was cleaning my house yesterday, I hear this little voice. I hear voices, by the way, just in case y'all didn't know that already. It says, use this. This is where most of my stories up here come from. It's this little voice that says, use that. And if I pay attention, it also tells me how to use it. Now, somebody last week asked me where my stories came from, so that's kind of why I tell you that. But also ask if I could share with the congregation where the Bible reference comes from. So I'm going to start trying to remember to do that. This is from the book of Isaiah 53, verse 2. And how this very, very plain little looking little bird reminds me of Jesus. Any ideas? Any ideas why this plain little bird would remind me of Jesus? Well, in the book of Isaiah, it reminds me of Jesus because it says that Jesus wasn't particularly handsome. He wasn't really tall. He wasn't particularly athletic. He was just average. He was an average person. If he was sitting out in the crowd, you wouldn't notice him because he's not better looking than anybody else. He's not more muscular. He just looks like everybody else. Your cousin, your dad, your brother, the guy that lives next door. That wasn't what was important, was it? What Jesus looked like wasn't important at all. As a matter of fact, God didn't want it to be. Because if he was really good looking and he was really tall and athletic, that probably would have distracted from the lessons that Jesus needed to tell. What was important was the words that he spoke and the deeds that he did. Did you know there's over 10,000 species of birds? And some of the plainest birds, as a matter of fact, most of the really pretty songs come from very plain birds. They're just browns and blacks. Blackbirds are just black. They're kind of annoying. But they have a pretty song when they sing. Yep. Some of the prettiest birds have the squawkiest noise, and you do not want to listen to it. Like cardinals, they're annoying. They're pretty, but they're annoying. So, what does this bird have to do with that? He doesn't look pretty, but he has a pretty sound, doesn't he? Yeah. So, what we need to remember is the most important thing is the words that we say, the things that we do, how we treat people. We want to show people that we're Christians. But if you're just walking down the street, they can't tell by looking at you, can they? No. You look like other kids. Yep. When you're out playing on the playground, y'all look the same to me. Y'all run around making a bunch of noise, making me tired. But if you speak with love and kindness and you act with respect and love, people will notice. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty that is these children and the beauty that is this day. Thank you that each and every day we have the ability to speak with words of love, to show acts of grace and kindness and respect, to reflect your love and your glory to everyone that we meet today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. In our prayers this week, we would like to especially lift up Bob Rockhold's mother, Grace, as she is having some significant heart concerns. We also lift up Jill Gregory as she continues to be hospitalized at North Kansas City Hospital. Many of you certainly would remember Rosemary Barnes, who passed on to the Lord's presence last year. Her son, John Barnes, is having difficulties with a lymphoma type of cancer as he resides in Colorado. We also want to lift up Rihanna Ralston and David Haynes and Don Thomas and Mary Otto and A.J. Merritt and Dan Feller, among others, whom we've been remembering day to day. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and holy God, it is with humble hearts that we bow our heads before your presence this Lord's day. Here in your house, O God, we know that we can experience comfort and your peace. Yet, as we find solace here in your house, events of recent days and months remind us that peace is not experienced by many of your children throughout the nation or the world. This Lord's Day, we especially pray for the individuals, families, communities, and countries dealing with the effects of the coronavirus. We are aware also that many parts of the world are still experiencing displacement, violence, unrest, and even war. And yet, as each of us, as we seek to be a blessing for others in the name of Christ our Lord, may remember, as Paul tells us in his letter to the believers in Thessalonica, that truly it is the Lord himself who gives us peace at all times and in every way. Thus it is in the name of Christ our Lord that we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God, as we remember the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Our scripture today is from Luke 23:32-43, and you can find it on page 965 in your pew Bible. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him that said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
A dedicated group of pious Jewish women in Jerusalem dedicated their time and resources to go to the crucifixions outside the city gates to give those suffering the fate of death on a cross a drink of drug wine, which would deaden some of the terrible pain. Jesus was offered this drink, but he refused it, as Matthew chapter 27, verse 34 describes. Our Lord was determined to face the pain and suffering of the cross with a clear mind and unclouded senses. As we gather around the Lord's table and partake of the bread and cup commemorating his sacrifice for our salvation, the clarity of his commitment should humble one and all. Our communion hymn this morning, number 384, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Here at Thy Table, Lord.
Here at Thy Table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel Thee, dear, in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to Thy banquet hall we enter in. Come then, O Holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with Thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of Thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to come forward today to celebrate what these emblems mean to us in our lives and our futures, the suffering, resembling the suffering and that you did through your Son, Jesus Christ, the suffering that he did for the blood that he shared and the body that was so broken. And we're just so grateful for that each day of our lives. So as we take of these emblems now, let us be grateful today and grateful forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
As we receive our offering this morning, we remember how Paul once wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, "I have shown you in all things that by working hard we must help the weak," remembering the words that the Lord Jesus said of himself, "There is more happiness in giving than in receiving." We offer our tithes and offerings as Wanda leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to guide us every day in the decisions we make and guide us to do the best for you. We ask for you to use our offering to do your glorious work. Bless the gift and bless the giver. And thank you for all our many blessings. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we thank you all for coming to the early service this morning. Almost, right? You know, because everybody else was here at this morning at 7:30, weren't they, at the 8:30 service. Takes a little while for us to adjust, doesn't it? You know, I usually get up and I go swimming early in the morning, but I decided that this morning I wasn't going because I knew that if I went at my normal time, I would be there between 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, no, I got to have a little bit of time to adjust, right? So if you're a little bleary-eyed and you kind of nod off, you're forgiven. That's okay. Okay, you can listen to the sermon when it hits the audio on the internet, right? Let's have a word of prayer. Merciful God, we're privileged to be in your house, and as we are mindful of Christ's great sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin, we are indeed grateful for the abundance of blessings, chief among them to recognize that we are given the privilege to one day share in paradise. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. So here we are today on this second message in this series that we are calling the Seven Words of Jesus. And as I mentioned to you last week, we're not talking about specific words that Jesus said, but in essence, phrases that he shared while he was suffering on the cross before his death. And so here today we are looking at this this context where Jesus says to the repentant thief, I promise you that today you will be with me in paradise. Now, as Jesus was hung among thieves, it would have been easy for onlookers to think, oh, well, he must be guilty like they are. You know, what horrible crime did he commit like they did? Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, the text tells us that two thieves were crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. But when you read your Bible and it just says thieves, we have to understand that in our English understanding, that's not quite as a depth of understanding as truly is apparent if you read it in the Greek. In the Greek, that word for thief has more detail to it. It actually refers to criminals as ones who were involved in armed robbery that resulted in death of one or more people. So what we actually have to Jesus' left and his right side are cold-blooded criminals who were caught, convicted, and now are being punished for robbery in which someone else was killed. Now, crucifixion was such a cruel form of capital punishment that Roman citizens were exempt from it regardless of their crime. And in fact, crucifixion was reserved for the most violent offenders, and especially those who may have been foreigners or slaves. Thus, it served as the utmost deterrent to encourage citizens of Rome and visitors alike that, hey, follow our rules and you'll be okay. You don't follow our rules and do something dastardly and you can end up like these guys. Because remember, the site for the crucifixions was just outside the main gate of any particular city in this time period. I remember when I was growing up, when you start driving into a small town, the first thing you'd see is the junkyard. Remember that? Finally, a lot of that got cleaned up over the years. But here, imagine walking up to the gates of the city and the first thing you see is people being crucified. What a ghastly sight that must have been. But again, it was designed to tell people, hey, you better watch yourself, do what's right. Now, the first criminal questions the legitimacy of Jesus and declares, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Notice, there's no remorse for the deaths, the pain, and suffering that these murderers had caused. He joins the crowd in maliciously mocking Jesus. He too questions what is stated on the placard above Jesus' head. The placard in many different languages said, King of the Jews. And if he really is such a king, this murderer in jest is saying, hey, King Jesus, if you really are such a king, how about saving yourself, and while you're at it, save us too? Is there any remorse? Does he have any sense of conscience about what he has done? None whatsoever. To the bitter, agonizing end, there is no change of heart for the first criminal. Now then, we get to the second criminal. You have to understand, the very fact that he was crucified with the other man is strong evidence to the fact that these two were in cahoots with one another with whatever crime was committed. The second criminal is, again, quite likely guilty of some sort of theft that resulted in the death of one or more people. Yet, somehow, this particular criminal, there's something that he experiences about Jesus that gives him a change of heart. Maybe he heard the stories of Christ, great healing power. Maybe he had actually seen some of Jesus's significant healing events or other teachings. We don't know what it was, but there is something within this gentleman's mind and heart that is changed. And so he goes against the grain of all that is happening there. Again, you have to understand, the people, the majority of them gathered there were criticizing Jesus. And so is the first criminal. Yet this man goes against all of that in his change of heart. He acknowledges that he and the first criminal are getting exactly what they deserve. And he also says, well, don't you fear God? And he goes on to say, this man, Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And yet he has the same sentence that we have. In this essence of repentance, what we see here is the second criminal striving to put behind him what had been his past experiences and the wrongs he had committed. And he is hoping that there is something of a possibility for a future. When he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come as king. So you see, he's willing to believe that there must be something about him, Jesus, that proves that he is, in fact, the Messiah. He's willing to take that leap of faith. And in hopes that maybe there's just some inkling of possible redemption for himself, he says, remember me. But it's not if you come into your kingdom, it's when. That's a tremendous leap of faith on this criminal's part. So then, how does Jesus respond to the repentant criminal? And we have to underline, repentant criminal. Jesus says, I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me. Now notice that Jesus gives no rebuke or review or shame concerning the convicted criminal's malicious and violent crime. It's not that Jesus is excusing what he did. It's just that Jesus is also, like the man, looking forward instead of looking backward. As the criminal had truly expressed remorse and is repentant, we see that redemption is immediate. Jesus doesn't say, well, I tell you what, if you say 3 Hail Marys, pray the rosary 10 times, and make a contribution to the church, then we just might see whether or not you can be redeemed. No. Redemption is immediate. Jesus declares with the truth of his own words, I promise. Not later on, not after purgatory. He says, I promise you that today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, the word paradise here, even in the Arabic or Greek language, it still references back to a Persian word that literally described a walled garden. And when a Persian king wished to reward one of his subjects a very special honor, he offered him an opportunity to be a companion with the king in the king's personal garden. He was chosen to walk in the garden with the king in a very personal, intimate, one-on-one basis without interruption from anyone else. Have you ever imagined yourself being that up close and personal and one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine what that's like. You know, I have trouble wrapping my head around that. I think, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I've envisioned myself in a group. I don't think I'm worthy to be in the presence of Christ by himself. Do you? Oh, my gosh. But if we really understand how this is being expressed by Jesus to this repentant criminal, we see that Jesus is saying, today you will dwell personally with me. And it is to be in the realm of God's heavenly realm. Now this word paradise is also used in two other places in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul describes that he was blessed with the privilege of a glimpse of paradise. And it was such a glorious experience that he says in the fourth verse of that text that he can't even use human words to describe what it was like. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7, there is a description of paradise of God, hearkening back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, when there is reference to the idea of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Again, it is a reference back to what the Garden of Eden must have been like before the fall of humanity, when there was this close, personal, intimate relationship between humanity and God. So you see, in all three references to the word paradise in the New Testament, we have this most immediate, direct, and personal connectedness with God and Jesus. And therefore, you know, as we look at this whole situation, just picture what Jesus is offering the penitent criminal. Regardless of what he's done, all that is being forgotten. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in this personal, very intimate relationship. And in our own repentance, that's exactly what Jesus is offering you as well. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn number 552. Standing on the Promises, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, 552, please.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest we will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Blessings to each of you. I just want to remind you that right after the service, we do have the potluck lunch down in the fellowship hall. Again, accessible by the staircase or the elevator that's over to your left. Please join us, if you will, this afternoon. You don't want to go home and have to cook, do you? Please stay and join us for that time of fellowship. Also want to remind or lift up to you that during the first service, Larry Pitts joined our congregation through a reaffirmation of his faith. And so his picture will be back on the bulletin board next week. So if you ever see Larry, welcome him into our fellowship. Again, a reminder, Lenten suppers are also going on Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Everybody's welcome to come and join in that time of fellowship. What we do also is I have a brief meditation that is a further reflection on the Sunday prior's theme. So this whole idea of Jesus saying, today you'll be with me in paradise, we'll stretch that out some more during our meditation time on Wednesday. I think the... which class has it? Oh, no, the ladies' group, Christian Women's Fellowship, has the lunch preparation for this Wednesday. May we pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us as we journey forward. May we truly recognize the great redemption given to us by your abundant grace and love. It's in the name of Christ our Lord we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me. He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me. He calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here.